Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome you to another edition of our Anchored in the Word morning reflection. And if you have a Bible, I'd like to ask you to take it and turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. We are in 1 John chapter 4. We're looking at verses 1 through 3 together today. And we are again going to look at this section in two parts. So I'm really looking forward to this discussion. This is a really important topic that we'll be addressing today. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now is it already in the world. Now, when we come to this passage, I want to give you a simple summary statement. I want you to realize that the passage in front of us is going to be dealing with a very specific kind of false teaching, but really the principles that are going to be applied for us to understand this text here in front of us apply into a lot of other areas. So here's our summary statement. This passage reminds us that ideas, whether they're internal or external, always have a source, and that source needs to be carefully identified before we embrace that as truth. So basically what we're saying here is that when we dig into this passage, there's an idea, there's a doctrinal teaching that is floating around in that community, in that local church, in the people that are close to people in the church. And that idea has a source. And John wants them to recognize that the source of that idea is not God, therefore it's not true. So when we get into this discussion, we're going to be talking about how to develop godly discernment. So here are three questions that I want us to ask ourselves as we come to this passage. And it's really a major part of the discussion we're having. The first question is, can we trust our hearts? That's a very important question. And it's really common for people to say, you know, just let your heart be your guide, follow your heart, do what's in your heart. That kind of advice is very common. In fact, a lot of times you hear people give that advice to little children, to people that are teenagers, people that are in that stage of life where they're getting ready to make big decisions. And so the question is, should we trust that kind of logic? Trust what's in your heart. Second question, why should we or why should we not apply that particular statement, trust your heart? Third question, how can we know if our thinking on an issue is correct? What is the standard that should be the standard of judgment when it comes to evaluating what's going on inside of our hearts and inside of our minds? So keep those three questions in your mind because they're very important questions. So the first truth we're going to find in our passage this morning is that we cannot, I repeat, we cannot trust every thought that's in our heart. We cannot believe that every single thought in our mind is true. Now, I think that this should make good common sense, okay? How many times have we had a situation in front of us and we imagined the absolute worst case scenario? And once we passed through that situation and looked back at it, we realized that that absolute worst case scenario that we so much feared was as far from possible in how the situation actually turned out. You know, we talk about how much we worry about things or how much we anticipate certain things that do not come to pass. So just taking that simple example of the fact that many times we worry about things that we think will happen and they don't happen, or we predict things will happen that actually don't happen, that should cause us to pause and say, can we really trust our internal thoughts, all of our internal thoughts, all of our internal impressions? I don't think anybody that's thinking clearly should come to that kind of a conclusion. Even if you didn't have the Bible to say what it's going to say here, we need to recognize that it's an absolutely foolish approach to take in life, that we trust our hearts exclusively. But I want you to see beyond those practical illustrations why that's such a foolish and, in fact, a very dangerous way to approach decision makings. Verse number one says this: Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirit whether they are of God. You know, someone might say, well, I had a dream, so I know I'm supposed to do something. Or I have a peace about doing something, therefore I'm going to go ahead and do it. God told me to tell you, or God told me to do this. We hear statements like this sometimes. Should we trust those kinds of statements? Well, the truth is that the church at Ephesus, who John's writing to, has a group of people who are saying, God told us, and then they're giving an example, and they expect people to trust that particular thing. How do we know if what somebody's saying is true or not? How do we know if internal thoughts are true or not? Well, we need to understand this word spirit and the way it's being used in this context. First of all, we need to understand that the word spirit can be used a lot of different ways in the New Testament. It can be talking about the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. It can be talking about an angel, okay? And when we talk about an angel, it could be an angel meaning like an angel that's faithful to God, or we could be talking about an angel that rebelled with Satan. It could even be talking about Satan himself in some context, or a fallen angel. But in this particular passage, and really one of the common ways that this word spirit is used, has the idea of the internal man. Okay, it's talking about our internal thoughts. It's talking about what's going on, the deliberation in our hearts. And so when he talks about not trusting every spirit, I think in this context, he's not referring to a demon, an angel, or the Holy Spirit. He's talking about what's going on inside of us, our internal thoughts, our internal impressions, our internal deliberations. We cannot trust every single thought that pops into our head. And this really should be common sense. So this is what he says. Don't believe every spirit. Just because you have an internal thought about something, an internal impression about something, does not mean that that thought or impression is infallible. It has to be tested. And here's why. Jeremiah 17:9, it says that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The truth is, our hearts are masters of deception. We are masters of self-deception. Many times we deceive ourselves. We don't even realize it. That's how tricky and how fallen our hearts are. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, it says, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself after the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of God. In fact, another passage in Corinthians talks about the fact that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to them, neither can they know them because they're spiritually discerned. If left to ourselves, if it wasn't for the role of the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God, we would be constantly deceiving ourselves. And the truth is that when the Bible talks about a person who's not a Christian, who doesn't know the gospel, hasn't embraced the Christian faith, they talk about that person as someone who's being deceived, who's been blinded by the God of this world. We need to understand that the human heart cannot be trusted exclusively. In fact, our thoughts have to constantly be examined and compared to a standard to see if they're true or not. We have a second truth that's also very important here. Every idea or every thought has a source. Okay? And notice the words in verse 1. He says, try or test or evaluate the spirits. The idea is that what's going on in my heart has a source, and I have to examine those thoughts to see if they're true or if they're not true. Not just if they're partially true, not just if they're mostly true, are they true or are they not? In other words, is it truth or is it a lie? We need to really put it in those dogmatic, blunt terms, because that's really what it comes down to. The things that are going on in our minds and what's going on in our hearts are often not true. They're lies. In fact, a lot of the problems that we have as Christians, they really come down to the fact that unknowingly or willingly, we have embraced a lie. It could be a lie about ourselves. It could be a lie about God. It could be a lie about other people. It could be a lie about our circumstances. It could be a lie about how God works in the world. It could be a lie about what God did or what God didn't do or why he did it or why he didn't do it. But when we have issues in our lives, it's connected to thinking in ways that are based on lies rather than truth. And we need to understand that ideas have a source. And the source is very important to understand because the source basically is going to determine whether or not it's true or not. So let me talk to you about a couple of different sources of thoughts. One source of thought is our natural fallen mind. 1 Corinthians 2:4, it says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. If a person's not a believer, they don't have a new nature, they don't have the role of the Holy Spirit in their life, their thinking is going to be constantly filled with lies. It's the gospel that confronts our self-deception, and it convinces us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. It brings us to the point where there's repentance before God and we place our faith in the finished work of Christ. The gospel convinces us by the power of the Holy Spirit to embrace the truth. But the natural man's heart is full of lies. From the time he's a little child all the way till the time he goes out of this world, the natural man is living on the basis of lies constantly. A second source is our flesh. In James 1:14, it says that every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Temptation is something that takes place in our minds. And so when we are tempted, our fallen nature, our flesh, becomes the source of what ultimately leads to temptation. And what goes on inside of my inner person, my thinking and my heart, is connected to my flesh. And a lot of people's thinking is connected, the source of their thoughts is connected to their fallen nature, their flesh. A third area that can be a source of thoughts is the world. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed through the renewing of the mind." Now, he talks about being conformed to the image of the world. When we talk about the world, we're talking about this system of thinking and values that's in opposition to God. Well, when we talk about the world, what we're basically talking about is all the people on this planet who've rejected God. The way that they collectively think about issues is another way of saying that's worldliness right there. In other words, it's not just one person's fallen nature being the source of their thoughts, one person's fallen mind being the source of their thoughts, but a collection of lots and lots of fallen people who are thinking and reasoning out of a fallen nature and a fallen mind, their cumulative thinking on issues is ultimately what he means by the world. In other words, the way that people don't know the Lord, the way that they approach issues in life collectively is a worldly, fleshly, fallen way of approaching things. And so we need to understand that some thoughts come from our own fallen nature, our own flesh, or this world system. There's a fourth one I'm going to mention, and that is Satan and spiritual forces. Now, when I say spiritual forces, I mean fallen angels, angels that rejected God when Satan rebelled against God. In James 3:14 and 15, he says, "If you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not, lie not against the truth. The wisdom that descendeth not from above is earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish." When Peter talks to Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, it says, Peter said, "Ananias, hath Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" Galatians 1:8 says, "Though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we've preached unto you, let him be accursed." The idea is that some thoughts don't just come from our fallen nature. They don't just come from our fallen mind. They don't just come from this world system. They actually find their source in Satan and those angels that have rebelled with him against God. And we need to understand that this is a potential source of our thoughts. But then there are two other sources that I want to mention. And this is the distinction between the believer and the unbeliever. The unbeliever's thinking is entirely rooted in those first four areas. Okay. Now, it's not saying that every single thing that a person that's not a Christian believes is a lie. We're not saying that at all. Okay. But we're saying that everything that a person looks at and how they process that is going to ultimately lead back to the fact that they don't have the source of a new nature and the Holy Spirit. But what changes when a person becomes a Christian? Well, the first thing that changes is their nature. Colossians 3:10. He says, put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. The Christian has a new nature, and there is a new source point in the Christian's heart that helps him to see clearly past the lies. Literally to identify, to root out, and to replace that thinking with truth. We also have the Holy Spirit. When Paul talks about us being transformed through the renewing of the mind, it's the Holy Spirit who changes us. And in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, we with open face, behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. So folks, one of the things that we need to recognize is that we cannot trust every thought in our heart. In fact, many of the thoughts that are going on in our heart on a regular basis are rooted on some level in lies. And so it's extremely important that we're a group of people that develop this discipline of not just blindly accepting everything that pops into our head or everything that we hear in our culture or everything that somebody shares with us, but we take those thoughts, those concepts, those ideas, and we isolate them and say, what's the source? How does it relate to the standard? Is it true or is it a lie? Tomorrow we're going to continue in this discussion on discernment, and we're going to go beyond this to talk about how we analyze our thoughts to know if they're true or if they're a lie. And folks, it's not about, is this my truth versus your truth? It's, is this the truth or is this a lie? There is no such thing as your truth and my truth. It's either true or it's not. It's either consistent with reality or it's not consistent with reality. And God's word is the perfect standard that we can come to day in and day out, moment by moment, to evaluate whether or not a concept, a teaching, an idea in our mind, or that we've been fed by someone else is true or false. I hope that this has been an encouragement to you today. If it has, please share that in the comment section. And Lord willing, tomorrow we're going to look at the second part of that. I know tomorrow's a holiday. I am planning to record part two, but we won't be recording over the weekend. Let's bow together for a word of prayer, and it's been good to chat with you. Father, help us to have a wonderful morning today. Be with those who've joined us on the live stream. Help them to think clearly about the truths we've talked about, to recognize that ideas always have a source, and we need to take the time to examine how we're thinking and where it's coming from so we can determine what is true and what is not. I pray that you'd bless us as your people with godly discernment. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's been good to see each of you this morning. I hope that you have a great rest of your day. And Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow. Bye now.